Episode 7. Coffee for Miss Conrad.
I've got a small showroom in Great Park in the street, just opposite the post office. Drop in any time, I'll be glad to see you. Just ask for Captain Smith.
Captain Smith?
That's right, Mrs. Temple. Everyone calls me Paddy, because I'm Irish.
I take it you're not in the service now, Captain Smith.
No, I just keep the old title to remind me of the high times we used to have. And, of course, it's a help in the car business. It inspires confidence, if you see what I mean.
Do they know you as Captain Smith of the Grove Club?
Well, some of them know I'm called Smith, of course, but they all call me Paddy.
Do you often go to the Grove?
Well, yes, quite a bit. I enjoy it. The band's tip-top and I like the kids.
Doesn't it ever get a bit too rowdy?
Occasionally. But I don't mind a rough and tumble every now and then. Shakes up the old liver. I say, do you mind if I stop here for a minute?
This is Berkeley Square, isn't it?
Yes, I've got a little pied-à-terre over one of the office buildings and I've left my key. The caretaker will let me have a duplicate. Then I needn't trouble him again when I get back later on.
You're very lucky to find a flat in Berkeley Square.
Yes, I got it through a pal of mine. You can get anything, if you know the right people.
So they tell me.
I'll be back in a minute.
So that's Captain Smith. Well, it seems harmless enough, darling. It's almost moronic.
Don't you believe it. We've had two warnings from Joyce Gunter about Smith, and I'm inclined to take them seriously.
Well, perhaps you're right. Anyway, he does himself well. Berkeley Square. And the price of petrol doesn't seem to worry him. He's left the engine running.
I wonder if there's a reason for that.
Well, what possible reason could he have?
I'm going to switch it off.
Paul, what's the matter?
I'm thinking about the plane and the time bomb. Someone obviously intended to put a time bomb on that plane, Steve, and they... Listen. Do you hear that ticking noise?
It's the dashboard clock, surely.
The clock stopped. Look, 6:20. Come on, Steve, get out, quickly.
Yes.
Come on, across the street.
Right.
Our friend Smith should have been back by now, and there's no sign of him.
No.
Look, here's a taxi. We might as well grab it and get home. Taxi!
Where to, Governor?
Eaton Square, please.
Oh! Oh, what the blazes was that?
Steve, look at the car. Just look at it.
Oh, Paul. Have you spoken to Vosper?
Yes, I told him the whole story. He's showing me some photographs tomorrow to see if I can identify our Irish friend.
Oh, Paul, what a day. I believe it's the most exciting... Oh, no.
It's probably Vosper again. Hello?
Mr. Temple?
Yes?
This is Dr. Conrad.
Oh, hello, Doctor. Is there any news of your daughter?
Yes, she arrived home about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, good. Have you any idea where she'd been?
No, she won't tell me. She's in a very difficult mood, I'm afraid. She refuses to see you tomorrow morning. She says she won't go to Scotland Yard again.
Ask her to come to the telephone, Doctor.
Why, I don't think she will.
Listen, Doctor, tell her that Countess Decker is dangerously ill.
All right, hold the line.
Hello, Mr. Temple.
Hello, Betty.
What is it you want to tell me about Countess Decker?
She's very ill. Someone tried to murder her this evening.
Who? Who tried to murder her? Where is she?
She's in London, but I'll answer all your questions tomorrow morning, Betty.
No, I can't see you tomorrow.
If you're
morning.
Fighting shy of going to Scotland Yard again, I'll see you here in Eaton Square. I'll probably have some more news of Countess Decker by then.
All right, Mr. Temple.
Good. Tell your father to have you here by 10:00. Good night.
Good night.
She's coming here tomorrow morning.
Excuse me, sir. Inspector Vosper's here.
Oh, come in, Vosper. You've certainly lost no time.
Well, my men checked the place in Berkeley Square. Your friend simply walked in at the front and out at the back. There's no top flat, and of course the caretaker had never heard of Captain Smith, or Paddy, or whatever he likes to call himself.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I expected.
I had a quick look through our records for Captain Smith. There's a notorious character using that name.
Huh?
He's also known as Major Spaulding and Lord Wensley.
Lord Wensley?
Seems to be able to turn on English, Scots, or Irish background according to his fancy.
What's his line?
Drugs, smuggling, confidence stuff. Anything that pays off.
I'll check his photograph tomorrow morning.
Good. If it's the same man, we'd like to get our hands on him.
Any news of Countess Decker?
Yes. She had an emergency operation and she's on the danger list. But they think there's a chance. Oh, by the way, I phoned Munich and passed the word on to Breckshaft about her.
I'm sure Herr Breckshaft will be interested.
Yes. Well, he's over here tomorrow and he's calling round to see you.
Oh, good. And now, Inspector, I insist that you have a drink. And, Steve, I insist that you go to bed, darling.
All right, Paul. Good night, Inspector.
Good night, Mrs. Temple.
Oh, oh dear. I was nearly asleep. Has the Inspector gone?
Yes, he's just left.
Paul, do you think this man Smith is the man behind the whole case? The disappearance of Betty Conrad? The murder of Gerda Holman, the attempt on the Countess?
He's deeply involved, there's no doubt about that. But there's someone else behind Smith. And that's the person I'm really after, Steve.
You know who it is?
I've a pretty shrewd idea. You know, I'm beginning to think there's only one way to deal with this affair.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I've been pretty orthodox. Now I think I'll be a little unorthodox.
How do you mean?
Steve, do you ever see that old friend of yours, the dress designer with the cottage near Tenterton?
Gwen Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had lunch with her about a month ago. Why?
Well, I want you to get in touch with her tomorrow morning. And this is what I want you to do. Hello, Steve. Everything all right?
Yes, I phoned Gwen. Everything's fixed.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think this is Betty Conrad and her father now.
All right, I'll leave you. Now, the coffee's ready in the percolator there.
Good.
Now, I'll be in the drawing room if you want me.
All right, darling.
Dr. Conrad, sir.
Oh, come in, Doctor.
Well, good morning. This is my daughter, Betty.
Oh, hello, Betty. Come and sit down over here. I've had some news of your friend, Countess Decker.
Oh, well, is she?
She came round through the operation remarkably well.
Well, have they found out yet who tried to kill her?
Not yet. That's one of the things I want to talk to you about.
But I know nothing about it.
Dr. Conrad, I'd rather like to talk to Betty alone, if you don't mind.
Look, I've told you I've nothing to say.
Now listen, young lady. You may have nothing to say to me, but I have an awful lot to say to you. And if you don't listen to me, I think you'll be sorry. Very sorry.
All right. Stay.
Good.
I'll be at Harley Street, Betty. Good morning, Mr. Temple. I'm very grateful to you.
No, I'm grateful to you, Doctor, for bringing your daughter to see me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I haven't the slightest intention of telling you what happened to me.
I know what happened to you.
Do?
Yes, I do. Come on, here's your coffee.
No, no, thank you.
Oh, dear, dear, you are in a difficult mood. Don't you like coffee?
Yes, I do, but...
Well, come on, then. Here you are.
Thank you. Could I have a little sugar?
Yes, of course. Help yourself. Now, I'm not going to ask you a lot of questions about why you suddenly disappeared from Mrs. Weldon's.
I didn't dislike the school, if that's what you're thinking.
No, that's not what I'm thinking. I'm more interested in what you can tell me about Gerda Holman.
Gerda Holman?
Yes.
I don't know anyone of that name.
You sure? She worked at a dress shop in Garmisch. She was found murdered the day before yesterday.
But I've never heard of her.
All right, then you've never heard of her. It was very nice of you to be so concerned about Countess Decker. Is she a great friend of yours?
Well, I went to her house several times. She used to invite the girls from the school.
Yes, I know, but was she a particular friend of yours?
No.
And yet you seemed very upset when I told you that she'd been shot.
Well, naturally, I...
Were you upset because the Countess had been shot, or because you thought you knew who had shot her?
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Templer.
All right. Let's go back to Gerda Holman.
But I've told you I've never heard of Gerda Holman.
But you saw her when you went to Madame Klein's to order your coat.
Madame Klein, I tell you, I don't know any of these people.
No?
No.
We found a card from her in your room saying that the coat was ready. Betty, when you first went to Germany, your father took you to Munich to arrange about the publication of one of his books.
Yes?
You and your father had dinner one night with a book publisher called Kurt Holman. That's when you met his daughter, Gerda, a girl of about your own age.
Oh, was that Gerda Holman?
Yes, that was Gerda. You also met Madame Klein at that dinner party. She was arranging for Gerda to enter her dress business.
I was a stranger there. They spoke German. I didn't really know what was going on.
Didn't you? Anyhow, you can see I've made quite a thorough investigation of this affair.
What good has it done you?
It's brought us a little nearer the truth. And it hasn't been easy to discover the truth about this affair. You see, some people like yourself, are being loyal to the wrong person.
But I don't know what you
mean. I'm not blaming you.
When one's young, it's not easy to discriminate.
I've had enough of this. I feel don't mind.
Sit down and finish your coffee. Now, supposing we forget Gerda Holman and Countess Decker and talk about another friend of yours, Elliot France. He is a friend of yours, isn't he?
No, Mr. France, of course. But he was very kind to me.
When was he kind to you? Was it after you left the school?
Yes, after I left the school. You see, it was Mr. France who... I don't feel very well.
You sleepy?
Yes, I feel as if I... Was there something in that coffee?
It tasted all right to me.
Oh, I feel so sleepy.
Now, there's nothing to worry about, Betty. Steve.
It's your sleep.
Yes. Have you got the rug?
Yes, it's here.
Everything's okay, Mr. Temple. The car's at the door.
All right, Charlie. Oh, Steve, I didn't expect you back yet.
I was lucky. Roads were very clear.
Was everything all right?
Perfect. No trouble at all.
Did she recover consciousness?
Yes, just as we got her into the cottage. Gwen and I talked to her. We assured her she was perfectly all right and there was nothing to worry about.
How did she take it?
I think she'll be all right, Paul.
You've explained everything to Gwen.
I gave her a rough idea of what the poor girl's been through. She'll take care of her. And if there's any difficulty, I told her to telephone us.
Good. Well, I suppose I'd better finish this letter. Can I offer you a cigar, Bretchard?
No, thank you.
What about a drink?
First, I would like to talk.
Oh, yes, of course. Did you find out anything from Countess Decker?
No, she's too ill to say anything. But one thing I am certain of, the attempt on her life, the murder of Gerda Holman, are all part of the same case.
Really?
You yourself do not think there is any connection?
Tell me, before I forget, have there been any developments about Gerda Holman?
Oh, we have searched the room at her lodgings. Everywhere there were pictures of this man, Elliot France, mostly cut from Continental magazines. And she had many copies of his novels, and also a press-cutting book devoted to his activities.
Things begin to add up, don't they?
Do they?
I think so. What about that drink?
Well, perhaps just a little whiskey.
Good. Have you seen anyone from the yard yet?
Oh, Inspector Vosper was kind enough to meet me at the airport.
He's a nice chap, isn't he? And very efficient. Don't underrate him, Brexhaft.
Why should I underrate him?
Here's your drink.
Thank you.
Well, let's go.
In your very good health. The inspector told me about the car incident, about this so-called Captain Smith.
Yes?
Tell me, why did you get out of the car? What made you suspicious?
I suppose it was just intuition.
Yes. I always say intuition is worth 1,000 clues.
My wife would agree with you. Has anyone else seen Countess Decker today?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Mr. France and Mrs. Weldon have seen her. They flew over with me this morning. They were most upset when I told them about the shooting and insisted on coming.
I see. Now, there was something else I intended to ask you, Brexhaft. What on earth was... Oh, yes. Yes. About Fritz Gunter and his wife who own the hotel at Omaramagar. Do you know anything about them?
Only what I've already told you. I believe Gunter was once an actor... Oh, of course, his wife is the businesswoman. She runs the hotel.
Yes, I rather gathered that.
Mr. Temple.
Yes?
There's something I'd like you to know about Gerda Holman.
Well?
From the post-mortem, we established that Gerda Holman was a drug addict.
Heroin?
Yes, heroin. That doesn't surprise you, then?
Not entirely. Have you had reason to believe that there's a drug smuggling organization in Bavaria?
Oh, we've had our suspicions for some time. Why do you ask?
Because I discovered that June Jackson was a potential drug addict.
June Jackson?
Mm.
Oh, the American girl, the one who disappeared.
Yes. I taxed her with it and finally persuaded her to go home.
Go home? So, that's what happened. Well, thank you for telling me. Things are beginning to fall into place.
Yes.
On the way back from the airport, the inspector told me you'd seen Betty Conrad today.
Yes, I saw her this morning.
How was she?
Difficult, extremely difficult. She just refuses to talk.
Oh, I expect she will in time.
I don't know. She's a pretty obstinate girl, and I doubt very much... Excuse me. Paul Temple speaking.
This is Dr. Conrad.
Oh, hello, Doctor.
I'm very anxious about Betty. She hasn't returned home yet.
She left here about 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock? That's extraordinary. I just don't understand.
Look, Conrad, don't worry. Give her until 8 o'clock, then if she hasn't turned up, ring me again.
Yes, all right, Temple. I'll ring you again later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, it rather looks as if Betty Conrad's disappeared again.
Again? I'm glad she is not my daughter.
Yes. Well, we shall see what happens. There's a meeting tonight, isn't there, at Scotland Yard?
Yes, at 6 o'clock. Are you going to be there?
Sir Graham's asked me, but I don't know whether I shall make it or not.
Oh, it might be a very good idea if you could. After all, it was you that Countess Decker telephoned just before she was shot.
Yes. Well, I'll try.
I must be off. Thank you for the drink.
Not at all. Goodbye, Breckshaft. See you later, perhaps.
Ah, hello, Temple. Come in.
They tell me to report here, Sir Graham.
Yes, the meeting's in Vosper's office. I thought we'd go down together.
Who else is attending this meeting?
Mrs. Weldon, Elliot France, and Breckshaft.
Ah, quite a gathering.
Yes, before we go down, Temple, you'll be interested to hear we've checked on that Smith character.
Ah.
Vosper was right. He uses half a dozen aliases. We've been on the lookout for him for several months.
What about the car showroom?
That was nonsense, of course. They've never heard of him. Incidentally, it's our opinion that Smith was responsible for the Dale Black murder.
Who's Dale Black?
He's the dead man you found in the house at Oxted, just before you left for Germany. According to the FBI, Black was mixed up in the Tennessee drug scandal. He came over here on a false passport.
And he was an associate of Smith's?
Yes, we believe so. And according to all accounts, they had a frightful row. Anyhow, we'll sort Captain Smith out when we pick him up.
When you pick him up, Graham?
Don't worry, Temple. We'll find him. Well, come along. We'll join the others.
Ah, good evening, Temple.
Good evening.
You know Breckshaft, of course, and yes, I think you know Mrs. Weldon and Mr. France.
Oh, yes, good evening.
Well, I think the best plan, Sir Graham, is for Mr. Temple to tell our visitors what happened last night. Then we can go on from there.
Well... Well, quite briefly, I had a telephone call from Countess Decker asking me to go and see her at the Coronet Hotel in Bloomsbury. When I got there, I found someone had tried to shoot her, and they were just taking her to hospital.
Could you tell us, please, a little more about the telephone conversation?
She seemed to be in a very nervous state, and she said she'd come over to London specially to give me some news about the Conrad case. Naturally, I agreed to see her.
Did she mention anyone, Mr. Temple? Anyone in particular?
Yes. She mentioned Mr. France.
What did she say?
Come along, Temple, let's have it. What did she say about me?
Well, I gathered that she was not very pleased with you, Mr. France.
Yes, that's true. As a matter of fact, we'd had a row. She flounced out of the house in a fit of temper, but I assure you I hadn't the least idea she intended coming to London.
And you've no idea who tried to kill her?
No, of course not. I can't imagine who it was.
Hmm.
You say the Coronet Hotel in Bloomsbury... That seems rather an odd place for Elsa to stay. Was she at the hotel under her own name?
No, they knew her simply as Mrs. Decker.
Oh.
Well, that's about all there is to my story. Except that just before she became unconscious, she warned me about a certain Captain Smith.
Captain Smith?
Yes.
Do you know anything about this Captain Smith, Mr. Font?
No, I've never heard of him.
Mrs. Weldon?
Nor have I.
Yes, well, now, the bullet that wounded Countess Decker came from a Gaussen, a German army revolver, now out of use. Have either of you ever seen one?
Well, I certainly haven't.
Mr. Franz?
Well, I've seen one, of course, but I don't possess one, Inspector, if that's what you're thinking.
You think it was this man, Smith, who tried to murder Elsa?
We don't know, Mrs. Weldon, but we suspect that it might have been. We're after him on two other charges.
Mrs. Weldon, may I ask what brings you to London?
Well, of course, I came when I heard poor Elsa was at the point of death. She's been a good friend of mine for a long time.
And that goes for you too, Mr. France?
Well, naturally, I was very anxious about Elsa. We've been living... We've been very close friends for years.
Yet you'd quarrel.
Well, people do quarrel, you know, even when they're very good friends.
What did you quarrel about? Betty Conrad?
Why should we quarrel about Betty Conrad?
Because Betty was rather fond of you.
Oh, it was just a schoolgirl crush, nothing else. I certainly didn't take it seriously.
But did Countess Decker take it seriously?
Perhaps.
Well, come in.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir, but this message is urgent.
No, thank you. Oh, that's all right, Sergeant.
Thanks, sir.
Well, this is a message from the hospital. Countess Decker's recovered consciousness. She's asking for Mr. France.
I'll go round at once.
I'd like to come with you, Elliot.
One of my men will drive you to the hospital.
There's no need for that. We can easily pick up a cab.
I'm sorry, sir. I'd like someone to be with you. If Countess Decker's very much better, she may wish to make a statement.
Yes, of course. I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, hello, dear.
Sorry, Steve. It was a rather long conference. Has anyone called?
Yes, Dennis Harper. And he insisted on waiting for you. He's in your study.
Oh, is anything the matter?
He won't tell me, but he's obviously upset about something.
Hmm. All right, I'll go in and see him. Sorry to have kept you so long, Harper.
Oh, that's all right. I hope you didn't mind my waiting.
No, not at all. My wife seems to think you've got something on your mind.
Well, yes, I have. I read about that bomb explosion in this morning's paper. It said that the car was owned by a Captain Smith, so I was worried in case you thought that I was in some way involved.
Why should I think that?
Well, I introduced Paddy Smith to you at the Groove Club, if you remember.
Oh, so you did. But it was obvious to me you hardly knew the chap.
Well, that's it, exactly. He's just one of those chaps you bump into every now and again. You know how it is.
Yes, of course. The police are pretty hot on his tail, anyway. Is there anything else?
Well, yes, there is.
Go on.
I telephoned Dr. Conrad's house this evening to see if there was any chance of seeing Betty. I spoke to her father. He said she'd disappeared again.
Well, certainly no one seems to know where she is at the moment, but there's no need for you to upset yourself.
I don't know about that. I mean, she disappears while I'm in Germany, and now I'm back in England, she disappears again.
Well?
Well, the police are bound to think I'm concerned in some way or other.
I can reassure you on that point. I've just come back from a session at Scotland Yard. Your name was hardly mentioned. Oh, excuse me. Hello?
This is Dennis Harper, Mr. Temple. I'd like a word with you.
Just hold on a minute, will you?
This is rather interesting. You appear to be on the telephone.
What do you mean?
Precisely what I say. You appear to be on the telephone.
But I don't understand.
Well, wait a moment.
Sorry, Harper, I had a glass in my hand. What can I do for you?
Can I see you this evening? It's rather important.
Yes, I should be delighted to see you.
I want to talk to you about the disappearance of Betty Conrad and the murder of Gerda Hollmann.
You suggest the time and place, and I'll meet you, Harper.
I'm down at Barnes.
All right, I'll meet you there.
I have to see someone at a small factory on the river, on the north side, about 100 yards below Barnes Bridge. It's a firm called Ryder and Taylor.
Ryder and Taylor?
Yes, they're paper merchants. Could you meet me there, say at 12 o'clock?
I don't see why not.
Use the side entrance in Feltham Road.
All right, I'll try and be there.
And don't mention this to anyone, please.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, that's the first time I've ever had a telephone conversation with a man who was in the same room with me.
Did you say you knew this place, Prosper?
Yes, Sir Graham. The factory is just a bit further along. Easy now, Sergeant.
The man on the phone told me to use the Fulton Street entrance, so I doubt if he'd expect us to approach from the river.
All right. Just about here, Sergeant.
There is nothing like an element of surprise. I will go first.
All right, Rexham. Don't use torches if you can help it.
No. There's no point in advertising ourselves.
The place seems to be empty, Prosper. What sort of a factory is it?
I think it's used as a warehouse nowadays, sir. Ryder and Taylor are paper merchants and...
I thought I heard something.
Well, I think I heard something too, sir.
Shh. Quiet, everybody.
I think it's coming from over there.
There's a door over here, Sir Graham.
Be careful, Breckshaft.
Let me go first, sir, just in case.
It's all right, Sergeant. Don't worry. I can take care of myself.
No torches until I give the word. All right. We better have some light now.
Inspector, there's a man over here, sir. Very badly hurt. Looks to me as if he's been beaten up.
Ye gods. He certainly has.
Stand by, Sergeant, while we take a look at him.
Yes, sir.
Poor devil.
Yes. It's hard to identify him with his face in that mess.
He looks a goner to me.
Just a minute. I think I recognize that suit. Yes, he was wearing it last night. It's Captain Smith.
Final episode. Person unknown.
Trying to say something, sir.
Okay. Doctor.
Yes, all right, Smith. Sergeant, get to a telephone and see if you can get a doctor here as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir.
Are you sure it's Captain Smith, Temple?
I'm positive, Sir Graham. Wait a minute. Smith? Paddy? He won't need a doctor, Sir Graham. He's dead.
I do not understand this, Sir Graham. What is this Captain Smith doing here?
That's something we have to find out, Brickshaft.
Oh, you think perhaps the man who telephoned Mr. Temple, who impersonated Harper, you think perhaps he also asked Captain Smith to come here?
I think he ordered Captain Smith to come here.
So? This means that Smith is not the man you are looking for.
That's right, Brickshaft.
Then this mysterious person, unknown...
Obviously left before we arrived.
That sounds like trouble, sir.
The sergeant may have seen someone.
Oh, there's a police car out in the road.
It's a fire, sir.
Oh, where is it?
Near the main entrance, and the wind's blowing it this way. There's barrels of linseed oil out there, sir. They'll go up like petrol.
We'd better make for the river.
The front way's already cut off, sir. Had a dip of a job getting back.
Then come on. We'll go back the way we came.
And what about Smith?
We'll just have to leave it.
Lead the way, Sergeant. This smoke's getting worse.
Yes. Keep close behind.
Quickly, everybody. The fire's really gaining ground. Now, sir, get a move on, Sergeant.
There's heat.
Careful, Sir Graham. Oh, we're all right. This leads back to the river. Down here, Sir Graham.
Wait a minute. Where are Temple and Brickshaft?
What? I thought they were following.
Perhaps there's another way down to the river, sir. They're probably in the launch pit now.
Anyway, I don't see what we can do, sir. Come along, Sir Graham.
I had to take the launch out into midstream, sir. It was too dangerous there.
Yes, all right, Sergeant.
There's Temple. On the roof. With Brickshaft.
Well, they can't stay up there long. They'll have to jump for it. Have you got a megaphone on board, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Well, give it to me. Temple! Can you see us? Temple!
Yes, he's waving, Sir Graham.
You'll have to jump for it. You'll have to jump into the river. We'll stand by, Temple. Give me a hand, Temple.
Right.
Thank you, Sir Graham.
What on earth happened to you?
Oh, we lost sight of you. We turned through a sort of tunnel and the fire was right ahead. We had no choice. We had to go up on the roof.
Well, thanks to Sir Graham and to Inspector Vosper, we are safe, Mr. Temple.
Yes, if a trifle wet.
Yes, but
I shouldn't have liked anything to have happened to you.
Oh, thank you, Breckshaft. I shouldn't have liked anything to have happened to you, either. Let me fill your glass, Breckshaft.
Oh, thank you. Just a little.
Are you sure you feel all right, Paul? Oh,
don't worry, darling. I've had a hot bath and three whiskies.
All the same, it was a pretty grim business.
Oh, Paul, Dr. Conrad telephoned.
No.
He said there was still no news of Betty.
It's very strange that this girl should disappear again.
Yes.
I suppose it's possible that whoever impersonated Harper to you, Mr. Temple, may have done the same to Betty Conrad.
Yes, that's quite possible.
Have you no idea who this man might be?
I have a very good idea.
You have?
Yes, I think it's Fritz Gunther.
But what makes you suspect Gunther, Mr. Temple?
Well, I made some inquiries about him at various studios and theatres. Before he became a straight actor, he used to tour the music halls as an impersonator.
Oh, that explains quite a lot. But what about that Bavarian accent of his?
Well, that was part of his act. He rarely spoke English perfectly.
Yes, but what makes you think he's in this country?
Well, I haven't actually seen him, but I know he comes here quite frequently.
He still acts in films, then?
No. He's after bigger money, Sir Graham. I suspect that he's an agent for an organization concerned with drug smuggling and blackmail. Am I right, Breckshaft?
You are perfectly right, Temple. I had a report to that effect from Madame Klein just before I left Munich.
Madame Klein?
I did not tell you sooner, but now you had better know. Madame Klein is an agent for Interpol.
Ah, that doesn't surprise me in the least.
But I never dreamt... Madame Klein?
Oh, she has been helping us to try to trace the source of this drug smuggling, but it has not been easy.
Do you think Joyce Gunther is involved, as well as her husband?
No, I have reason to believe that Mrs. Gunther is very much troubled about him. She is also very much troubled about her little boy.
Oh, I didn't know she had a child. Why is she worried?
Because she has been threatened by this organization that if her husband did not obey orders, then the child might suffer.
I expect it was Smith who threatened her. And that's why she warned me against him.
Most probably.
You don't think this man, Fritz Gunther, is the man we're after?
No, Sir Graham.
What about you, Temple?
I agree with Breckshaft. I don't think so, either. Hello?
Is that you, Temple?
Oh, hello, Vasper. What's new?
Fritz Gunther is staying at a hotel in Knightsbridge.
Ah.
I've got two men tailing him.
Good.
You think we'll be able to pull him in soon?
Yes, I do. On a murder charge.
Murder charge?
Yes. The murder of Gerda Holman.
I see. All right, I'll keep in touch. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Morning papers.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. Remember what I told you yesterday about keeping an eye on the door? That still goes.
You bet, Mr. Temple. Don't worry. I'll be on the job.
Good.
They've got the whole story, Paul. Betty Conrad finishing school in Bavaria, Harley Street, psychiatrist.
I wonder who on earth managed to get the story.
It says it's by the Daily News crime reporter, a man called Howard Ross.
Oh. Let me have a look, Steve.
Yeah. He's a bit hazy on facts, but he's made some pretty good guesses. And he's got pictures of practically everybody, including poor Mrs. Weldon.
Yeah, so he has. By Timothy, that's a terrible picture of Breckshaw.
Yeah, but the one of you isn't so hot either.
No, it certainly isn't. You know, I don't agree with you, Steve.
What do you mean?
His facts are pretty good, considering. He's got the whole story, the Countess, the attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
He even mentions Elliot France.
Mr. Harper, sir.
Oh, come in, Harper.
Good morning, Mrs. Temple.
Good morning, Mr. Harper. Paul, you remember, I've got a hair appointment. I shall see you later.
All right, darling.
Excuse me rushing away like this, Mr. Harper.
Yes, of course, Mrs. Temple. You sent for me.
Yes, I did.
Well?
Harper, we're coming to the end of this case, and it isn't going to be a very happy ending as far as you're concerned.
I don't follow you.
How long have you known Howard Ross?
Howard Ross?
The crime reporter on the Daily News.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, Harper, I've known Ross for years. He's a first-class journalist and a man of integrity. I've only got to pick that telephone up.
I've nothing to do with that newspaper story, Temple.
No? Funny. There's a photograph of everyone concerned in this affair splashed right across the front page. A photograph of everyone. Except you. That was part of the arrangement, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. That was just a coincidence. I'm going to the office.
Sit down.
Look here, Temple, you can't threaten me.
Sit down.
What is it you want?
How long have you been taking drugs?
Taking drugs? You must be out of your mind.
You think I can't recognize the symptoms after all these years?
You're bluffing. You've got no proof.
Haven't I? Your friend Paddy, Captain Smith, died last night.
I know that.
Before he died, he talked. Quite a lot.
Good heavens, Temple, you know Smith. You know what a liar the man was.
A dying man doesn't usually tell lies. You know, Harper, unless you cooperate with us, you're liable to find yourself facing a murder charge.
What the devil are you talking about?
I'm talking about the murder of Gerda Holman.
I had nothing to do with the Holman murder.
But you know who had, don't you?
Yes, but...
Well, go on.
I think it was Fritz Gunther.
Thank you. Now, if you take my advice, you'll see Inspector Vosburn make a complete statement.
I can think of pleasanter ways of committing suicide.
No, we'll take care of you until we pick up the person behind all this. The person you're frightened of.
You'll never do that, Temple.
What makes you so sure?
Because you don't know who you're after.
Take a look at this newspaper. You see these photographs on the front page?
Yes.
Well, that's the person I'm after, Harper. Am I right?
Yes.
Now, perhaps you'll come to Scotland Yard with me and make a statement.
I think we'll stop here for 5 minutes, Temple.
Yes. Better pull into the lay-by, Bossman.
Right.
Now, Bossman, let's make sure we've got the details right. You say you've seen the manager of the hotel at Pangbourne. Everything's laid on.
Yes, Sir Graham, everything. I tested the microphones myself. They'll pick up every word.
God. Did you tell the hotel manager exactly what was happening?
Well, I had to confide in him to a certain extent. I'm pretty sure he's trustworthy.
Right. Well, how are we for time, Vosper?
We've about an hour to go, sir. And we're about 20 minutes from the hotel, I should say.
And then I think perhaps we'd better get moving, just in case our friend decides to arrive early.
Yes, that might be a little awkward, to say the least.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Temple is expecting me. My name is France, Elliot France.
Mr. France? Oh, yes, of course, sir. That's room number 4 on the first floor. The lift's over there, sir.
It's quite all right, thank you. I'll walk.
Where can I telephone, please?
There's a box just outside the smoke room.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning, sir.
I have an appointment with a Mr. Temple.
Oh, yes. Can I have your name, please? Then I'll phone Mr. Temple and see...
There's no need to phone Mr. Temple. He's expecting me. My name is Breckshaft.
Very well, sir. It's on the first floor, room number 5.
Number 5. Thank you.
Conrad.
Shut the door. You're late.
Late? I don't understand. I didn't even know you were coming here.
Stop talking nonsense, Franz. Now, where's Betty?
I haven't the slightest idea where she is.
You're lying. You kidnapped her before and kept her with that damned countess woman, and now you've done it again. Now, where is she?
Talk sense, Conrad. You know why I kidnapped Betty in the first place. To get those letters from you.
Yes, well, I gave you the letters and the documents. Now you've double-crossed me. What's the idea?
Conrad, listen, I know nothing about Betty. I haven't the faintest idea where she is.
No?
No.
Then why did you send me this note with Betty's glove?
What note?
Well, since you want to play fun and games, I'll read it to you. This glove will prove that Betty is with me and is quite safe. If you want your daughter back, meet me in room 4 at the Signet Hotel, Pangbourne, at 11:30 tomorrow morning. Elliot France.
May I see the signature?
Well?
I didn't send this note.
Now look, Franz, you were awkward with me once before.
I was awkward.
You refused to do what I wanted.
Well, of course I refused. You used my case history to blackmail me. I was prepared to pay money, but not to work for you. That still stands.
I'm not asking you to work for me now. I'm simply asking you to release Betty. If you don't...
Well?
I've got photostat copies of those letters of your case history. I could sell them tomorrow to any newspaper in the world.
Look, Conrad, I can only tell you the truth and hope you have the sense to believe me. I've not seen Betty since the day she was released, and I'm completely in the dark as to where she is now.
Is that the truth?
I swear to you, it's the truth.
Then what about this note?
I don't know. I only know that I didn't send it.
Well, if you didn't send it, why did you come here?
I was asked to meet Paul Temple here. He telephoned me and suggested that we...
Temple?
Yes.
He telephoned you?
Yes. Last night.
Good Lord.
What's the matter?
He sent this note. He intended we should meet. He knew that as soon as we came face to face, we'd start talking about...
What is it?
There's a microphone in this room somewhere.
Nonsense.
It isn't nonsense. I found the wire. They must be in the next room.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm getting out of here. Door's locked.
Of course it isn't locked. Let me try.
It's locked, I tell you, from the outside.
Good morning, Dr. Conrad. Now, don't be stupid. Put that gun down.
You better give me that gun, Doctor.
Stand back, all of you. I warn you, I shan't hesitate to shoot. Get out of the way, Franz.
Conrad, for heaven's sake. You're only making things worse.
Look out!
He's jumped from the balcony.
But he's making for the car park.
He's doubled back into the road. Hey, Weston, stop him. Charters.
Where's his car?
Over there, near the entrance. He's going to make it, all right.
Yes, it looks like it.
But his car's facing this way. He won't have time to turn.
Surely this is a cul-de-sac.
Yes, the road ends at the river. He'll have to turn.
Look out!
The man must be crazy. He'll find himself in the river.
He's hit the bank.
He's gone over the top, Foster.
It's no use, Sir Graham. The car nosedived into the river. The bonnet's wedged deep into the mud. If the impact didn't kill him, he's drowned by now.
We've got to make sure, Vosper.
All right. Wind her in. The diver's fastened the cable to the car. Should be coming up any minute now.
Did your man phone for a doctor, Vosper?
Yes. Should have been here by now. Easy. Up she comes. All right now. Steady. Well, there it is. Conrad's still in the driving seat.
Not exactly a pretty sight.
No. You know the drill, Bosman?
Yes, sir.
Come along, Temple. Let's leave them to it.
Countess Decker will see you now.
Oh, thank you, sister.
This way, please. Oh, Mr. Temple. Mrs. Temple.
Good afternoon.
What lovely roses. Thank you very much.
You're looking a great deal better than I expected, Countess.
Yes. I'm very much better.
Good.
Please, sit down, both of you.
Oh, thank you.
I was anxious to see you because I heard on my radio that Elliot Franz was being questioned by the police.
I thought you were not very friendly with Mr. Franz.
That was just a little...
A little tiff?
Yes. But Elliot is a good man, Mr. Temple. Please believe me, he's not a criminal.
He appears to have been rather deeply involved with one.
Conrad.
Yes. We know he was the man behind the whole business. Oh,
thank heaven you know that.
But how exactly did Elliot Franz come into it?
Well, after he'd stayed with me for some time, I could see there was something on his mind. One night, I persuaded him to tell me about it. How Dr. Conrad had been blackmailing him and now wanted him to take charge of his organization in Bavaria for distributing drugs. Elliot was desperate.
So you suggested a way out?
Yes. I said the only way to deal with such an unscrupulous man like Conrad was to get some sort of hold over him.
And Franz remembered that Conrad had a daughter?
Yes. And there she was, almost on our doorstep. It was not difficult to devise a little plot to kidnap Betty Conrad.
Oh, then she really did come to your house that afternoon.
She did. Elliot told Conrad that Betty would be sent back as soon as the papers and letters he was blackmailing him with were returned.
I see.
Dr. Conrad came to Germany and tried to reason with Elliot, but I made Elliot be firm. Conrad's only weak spot was his daughter. And indeed, it's not surprising. Betty is a very attractive girl.
And you found her a little too attractive.
Oh. So Elliot told you about that.
He said you'd had a quarrel and that you'd walked out on him.
Yes, it was very silly of me. I can see that now. I've had time to think since I've been in hospital.
Oh, I'm glad you're able to feel so detached about it, Countess.
Well, Elliot and I looked after Betty. We treated her as one of the family. Perhaps it would have been better if we hadn't.
Why was that?
Because she overheard the conversation between Elliot and myself about Dr. Conrad. She heard the truth about her father. Mm. How he was trying to extend his organization halfway across Europe was a dreadful shock for the child.
Must have been.
Anyhow, after Betty left us, I had a letter from Conrad saying she was pining to see Elliot again.
Conrad, trying to make trouble between you?
Yes. Although I knew Conrad for what he was, the letter made me jealous of Betty. I had a row with Elliot and decided to come to London and tell you the whole story.
And here you were very nearly murdered by Captain Smith.
Yes. Oh, I'll never forget that man coming from behind the curtains with a gun in his hand.
Now you mustn't think about that.
No. I must try to think about Elliot. I must try to think what's best for
him. I shouldn't worry too much about Mr. France if I were you. The police merely questioned him about a recording of a conversation between himself and Dr. Conrad.
Oh, I see. Come in.
Elsa, my dear, how are you?
Elliot.
Steve, I think this is our cue to go.
That's just what I was thinking. Goodbye, Countess.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Would you like a light, Sir Graham? Your cigar seems to be...
No, it's fine, Temple. And I'm very comfortable. Well, my word, it's been quite a day.
Yes. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am to you, Sir Graham. And Mr. Temple, of course. We were getting very concerned in Munich about the drug traffic.
Well, now you can get concerned about the Gerda Hohmann murder. That's your pigeon, thank goodness.
Oh, she was unquestionably killed by Fritz Gunther, acting on orders from Conrad. The doctor suspected that Madame Klein was an Interpol agent. He was afraid she'd question Gerda and the girl would break down.
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Madame Klein had already got her eye on Conrad. That's why she was interested in Betty.
But why did they put a blue coat on the dead girl?
Because Conrad wanted us to think that Madame Klein and the dress shop were involved in the murder. He wanted us to continue our investigations in Bavaria and not in London.
I see.
Is there any news of Gunther, Sir Graham?
Not yet, I'm afraid.
What about Dennis Harper?
We've had to arrest Harper, of course. But I should imagine he'll get a fairly light sentence.
Conrad found him a useful accomplice. But like most drug addicts, he couldn't screw himself up to tackle the really big jobs.
How do you mean?
Well, when Gunther lured us into that trap at Innsbruck, Harper hadn't the nerve to finish the job. He used blank cartridges.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Ever since, he's been scared that Conrad would cut off his supply of dope. When we saw him at the Groove Club, he was there to pick up more of the stuff from Smith.
Yes. Conrad's been using the club as a distribution center.
Then why did Conrad send us there? Don't forget, he produced the membership card, which was supposed to belong to Betty. That's why we went to the club.
He wanted us to go there for two reasons. One, to scare the pants off Harper. And two, the bomb incident and Captain Smith.
But it couldn't have been Harper who forced our car off the road on the way to Oberammergau.
No, it was Fritz Gunther. He'd been tipped off by Conrad that we were in Garmisch.
Temple, I don't get the significance of the cocktail sticks.
Oh, they were presented by Fritz Gunther to various members of the ring and used as a means of identification.
So they'd be able to contact each other.
Exactly.
But what about that time we went to Pointer's?
That was an ingenious idea of Conrad's to get us down to the cottage at Oxted. The idea being that we should be murdered by his American associate, Dale Black. Luckily for us, Smith was jealous of Black and that very afternoon murdered him.
And you think it was Conrad himself who killed Smith?
Yes, because Smith had bungled the bomb incident. Don't forget, when Smith was dying, he said, get Dr... What he was really trying to say, of course, was get Dr. Conrad.
And the postcard, Paul, the one we found in Oxted?
That was a copy of the card addressed to Betty Conrad. The doctor paid a servant of the school to send him copies of all her correspondence. The letters and cards were sent to Oxted and addressed to Mrs. Ruth Conrad.
Come in.
Ah, oh, come in, Vosper.
I thought you'd like to know we've picked up Fritz Gunther, Sir Graham.
Ah, good man. Where was he?
In a telephone box, sir. giving an imitation of you.
What? Of me? What on earth do you mean?
It appears he spoke to Digby at the yard and ordered him to call off the hunt. It was such a good imitation that it fooled Digby and the message was sent out to all the squad cars.
I imagine you'd like a drink, Inspector.
Thank you. A very large whiskey.
Paul, there's just one more question.
No more questions, please.
Excuse me, Mr. Temple. Do you want anything before I
go? No, good night, Charlie. And good luck. I hope you win.
Win what?
South of England cha-cha competition, darling. Ah, Charlie's in the final.
Oh. Was in the final, Mr. T. Beryl's got the flu.
Oh, bad luck, Charlie. Well, if you want a partner, there's always Mrs. Temple.
Oh, this is modern stuff, Mr. T. None of your polkas and gavottes.
Oh, really, Charlie?
I was only joking.
Where is this competition, Charlie?
Why, it's at the Groove Club, Mrs. Temple.
The Groove?
Steve, what are you thinking?
Mrs. Temple, you wouldn't. You couldn't.
Couldn't I? Three of those atomic fruit juice things and I'll be the new cha-cha champion. Lead the way, Charlie. Lead the way.
That was the last episode of Paul Temple and the Conrad Case. The part of Paul Temple was played by Peter Cook and Steve by Marjorie Westbury. Sir Graham Forbes, Richard Williams, Herr Brechtschaft, Jeffrey Siegel, Mrs. Weldon, Virginia Winter, and Elliot France, James Thomason. Gerda, Hilda Schroeder, Madame Klein, Dorothy Holmes Gore, Dennis Harper, John Brining, Elsa, Countess Decker, Joan Matheson, and Dr. Conrad, Rolf Lefevre. Joyce and Fritz Gunter, Dorothy Smith and George Hagen, June Jackson, June Tobin, Captain Williams, John Bennett, Inspector Vosper, Hugh Manning, Inspector Digby, Peter Wilde, Paddy, alias Captain Smith, John Hollis, Betty Conrad, Jane Jordan Rogers, and Charlie, James Beatty. The Paul Temple serials are written by Francis Durbridge and produced by Martin C. Webster.